What I bring today by the help of the Holy Spirit is a word of exhortation, but it's also a word of warning. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, and thereabouts, it says, Christ whom we preach, teaching every man, warning every man. Why? So that we may present every man perfect in Christ. Amen. And that's the essence of the word today. The fullness of the Spirit without measure and the initial borrowed anointings upon us, folks. Amen. We're talking Bible study about the blood moon over Nigeria today. What a wonderful thing. Amen. And so this message is one of such a message of exhortation. The Bible says that as we see the day approaching, and also a word of warning so that we will not be carried away with the things that are happening upon the earth. Amen. Hallelujah. So this message, by the grace of God, is an offshoot of a message the Lord helped us to preach called Inheriting by the Word. And Pastor also amplified that in his last message last week when he spoke about the Word in our mouths and our hearts and to do the Word. So it's that we're going to be talking about again today, the Word of God. Amen? The Word of God is the root, is the source of everything. The Bible says the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So that the things which appear were not made of things that do appear. Amen. That word is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. We're going to start with a familiar verse, which again, it's so interesting how God just refreshes the memory. This word is a word that almost ruled and reigned, not almost, actually did rule and reign in this house many years ago, about 10, 15, maybe about 20 years ago. The word in Joshua 1:8, I came to this house learning that word. One of the first scriptures I learned was that Joshua 1:8. Amen. And if you look at it, let me put it up on the board. Thank you. Thank you. Colossians 1:20. Warning, preaching a man. All right. Thank you. Now, Joshua 1:8. Now, if you back up to verse 6, you don't have to go there. Just mention it. This is the word that God gave to Joshua when Moses had passed on and they were about to enter the promised land. Moses was supposed to take them to the promised land. But he didn't. We'll talk about that later. But let me not get ahead of myself. But here's the word that God gave them as they were about to enter the promised land. For us, it also has prophetic significance, as we mentioned in the last message. So we're going to read this, and then we'll take off from here. Let's start. Joshua 1:8. We'll read it together. This book of the law. Now, of course, they were talking about the law then, but we're talking about the word of God. They had the law, the five books, the Pentateuch, and the Torah. But we have the whole Bible. Aren't we fortunate? Isn't God good? Amen. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Everybody say mouth. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Everybody say heart. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Everybody say do. Keep your finger in this in your Bible. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14. Hello, somebody. Deuteronomy 30, 14. Want to look at those three same parameters again. Thank you. Can you speed this thing up a bit, please? Thank you. So let's read it now. The word. Now, he's not talking about the law. He's not talking the word. But the same difference. But the word is very nigh unto thee. Where? In thy. Everybody say mouth. In thy heart, everybody say heart, that thou mayest do it. Everybody say do. Same difference. The word is not in the mouth and the heart that thou mayest do it. Amen. Amen. This is a, like Pastor was saying, this is a three combination lock to get the benefit of what is written in the word. Amen. The Bible says mouth of two or three witnesses, every word is established. So these are two witnesses. Now, let's go back to Joshua 1:8. Thank you. Back to Joshua 1:8. So all this heart mouth do, putting the word in your mouth, meditate upon it day and night, not departing, and then doing it. What is it supposed to bring forth? It says, for then, the result of this, for then, in other words, this is the result of heart mouth do, putting the word in, meditating and doing it, because you speak the power, when you speak the power is released, you do it, you have faith in your heart, you declare it, and then you begin to do it. The power is released for you to do the word. But the essence of this, the end point of all this is this. It says, for then and not before. Thou shalt what? Make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Give me the Amplified. Let's see what it says. Amplified, please. Thank you. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall deal wisely, and have good success. The NIV says, then you shall be prosperous and successful. How many people want to be prosperous? How many want to be successful? Amen. All right. So everybody. So God is speaking to us all. Okay. Now, I remember very clearly, this is just an aside, which is very important though. I remember very clearly, many years ago, Pastor taught this, and he said, that it's possible to have good success. If you can have good success, then it's possible to have bad success. We don't wish that for you. But it's a possibility. There's good success, there's a not so good success, and then there's a bad success. Amen. We don't want bad. We don't want not so good. We want good success. Tell your baby you have good success in Jesus' name. Amen. So, bad success is not for us. Amen. More than that, we go on. Now, it says, what the Lord opened my eyes to see is this. He says, in order to have good success, you must prosper. Which means that prosper is not the same thing as good success. If you read it carefully, it says, for then thou shalt make, give me back KJV. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and, which means prosperous and good success are separate. Otherwise, you won't have that conjunction there. Do you understand? Now, so you can pray, and it says, and then thou shalt have good success. In other words, one comes before the other. They're not the same. Good success is different from prospering. Hello, somebody. I mean, that's not even revelation. That's just reading English. That and there is called a conjunction. All right. So, good success is the end point, but somewhere along the line will prosper. And it's that prosperity, we'll see in a minute, that will lead us ultimately to good success. Amen. It's not every success that's good. But this is the one that is good. Amen. Okay. Now, let's deal first with the issue of prospering. Amen. How many people know it's the will of God to prosper? Yes. We pray it every Saturday, all night here. Now, prosper and be in. Let's go there. 3 John chapter 2. The Bible says, God delights in the prosperity of his servants. Amen. And so it should be. Because God is a prosperous God. Amen. Let's do it. 3 John 2. Now, this is the Lord speaking through his apostle. It says, beloved. All of us are beloved. Amen. I wish above all things. Oh, come on, guys. I wish. Or I pray. Okay, don't wish. There are no wishes. I pray. Above all things. That thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Notice this mayeth. It's not even a given. There are things you have to do. Anyway, we'll leave that aside for now. But the essence is, he says, mayest prosper and be in health, amen, even as thy soul prospereth. In other words, there are two kinds of prosperity. There's a prospering and being, that is, being in health. It is linked to be in good health. Do you understand what I'm saying? Salam is prosper and be in health. So those two go together. And then there's a prospering of thy soul. So, help me, Lord. The prospering and being in good health is physical well-being, circumstantial well-being, the prosperity of your naira and pocket. Amen? Hello? That's one kind of prospering. But the one that ought to determine it is the prosperity of your soul, which is separate from health, and separate from circumstantial, material, financial prosperity. So when it says in Joshua 1, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, is referring to these two levels of prosperity that precede having good success. But they are not good success in themselves. Help me. All right. We're going to see the same dichotomy. The first prosperity, as I said, is circumstantial, material, physical prosperity. The second is prosperity of the soul. The Bible says the end of our faith is the salvation of our soul. That's what it's talking about when it says, as thy soul prospereth. Amen? Amen? We see the same dichotomy in Psalm 1 verse 1. Hear me. Psalm 1:1. Help me, Lord. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Verse 2. Now, check this out. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. Sounds familiar? He said, thou shalt not allow the world to depart from my mouth. I shall meditate in day and night. So he's got it in his heart. Next verse. And he shall be like a tree. Trees represent men, human beings. I see men as trees walking. Planted by the rivers of water. Now, check this out. That bringeth forth fruit. 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 What does that imply? Fruit of the spirit. Prosperity of the soul, the mind, the will and emotions. The character of Christ. Bring forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth. That's the physical, material, circumstantial. Whatsoever he doeth physically shall prosper. So we see the same dichotomy. Prosperity of the soul bring forth fruit. Salvation of the soul, mind, will, emotions. And everything he does also. Prosperity at two levels. Do we understand? Okay. Now, what are we saying? The prosperity and having good success are not the same thing necessarily. Unless that prosperity is attained with the prosperity of the soul as a determinant of prosperity. And then and only then will it probably result in good success. What are we saying? We're saying that the prosperity, the prosperity that is the prosperity of the soul is what leads to good success. Not the prosperity of the physical, circumstantial wealth and prosperity. So we need to establish that. Give me Psalm 73, 1 to 3. Beloved, it's possible to have a great level of circumstantial success. I don't even use success. Material, physical possessions, prosperity. Without soulish prosperity. Amen. It's possible. Hello? Many unbelievers have the same thing. That's what gave the psalmist so much angst. He said, truly God is good to Israel. He said, I know God is good to Israel. Yes. Even so, I have a clean life. I know God is good. Next verse. But as for me, hello. I preached a message on this once. The Lord help me. Said, it's a Psalm 73 situation. Said, as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Why? For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Now stop there. This is not unbeliever. He's not talking about unbelievers in the world. He's talking about the wicked who have cast aside instruction. And yet, this is not the heathen. These are they who know God's instructions. They have been instructed in the word. But they don't keep them with their mouth. They don't meditate upon them in their heart. And they don't do it to any degree. But they prosper. And the guy was like, huh? Lord, what's going on? He says, these are the ungodly. Not like God. They know God, but they're not like him. The Bible speaks, I think, in 2 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 4, 17, where it says that where shall the ungodly and the sinner? It talks about the righteous, the ungodly, and the sinner. The sinner doesn't know God at all. The ungodly means he knows God, but he's not trying to be like God. The righteous are those who strive to become like God. So that's this three levels. And so he said, these are the ungodly who prosper where? In the world. How do they prosper? In the world. Through all that is in the world. How do they prosper? They prosper from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. All that is in the world, which incidentally will pass away. That's what the Bible says. When he went to the tabernacle, into the sanctuary, you understand that God has set them in slippery places. Not unbelievers, though. Wicked. Who knew the instruction of God and cast it. And sadly, sadly is the kind of prosperity, the overwhelming majority of the world, they just give me that money, man. Amen? Supposing that the Bible says that gain is godliness, and it is not. And my pastor was saying the other day, I remember one day, a long time ago, when we preached this word about the prosperity trap. How many people remember it? If you remember, you're definitely more than 20-something years old in the church. He saw a sea of prosperity that had people trapped. It was like a wave of water. And there were people drowning in that trap. That thing has come to pass. It's a sure word. It has come to pass. And we know people. We just see it all over the church. Much of the world has been swept away by that wave of quote-unquote prosperity. Prosperity of physical circumstance. Not of soul. Not of mind. And so much of the church is not even looking to be a good success. Lord, have mercy on us. The Bible says, if in this world only we have hope of God, we are of all men most miserable. Most Christians, sadly, have only hope of the physical things. Amen? But that will not be our portion in the images. So we see now there's a high level of prosperity for us as saints, the prosperity of our souls, which incidentally in segues automatically, if your soul prospers, automatically your flesh will also be cleaned out. The Bible says, having these promises, let's cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness. So what we do, we must have this vision in our minds. As we enter into this day of release, into the day of glory, we must have this focus. The fullness of our efforts must be geared towards, by using the blood, the word, and the power of the spirit, to significantly increase and maintain the prosperity of our lives. That's what Pastor Peter was preaching on Wednesday. He said, who shall abide when he appears? He's come like a refiner and a fuller soap to purify the sons of Levi, so that we'll offer up an offering in righteousness, which means there's still unrighteousness in the offering of the church. Amen. That's what Pastor Lee was preaching. And this is prosperity of the soul. Amen. Now, what does it mean? And Pastor said this also, so I want to say it right away, quickly. What does it mean, the prosperity, or you can say the salvation of our souls? We said that the end of our faith is salvation of our souls. This is the total cleansing of the sin nature from our souls until, number one, our minds are totally enlightened by the light of the revelation of God's word. That says, God who commanded light to shine in darkness has commanded the light of God to shine in our hearts, giving us the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But it talks about having no part dark, no occasion of stumbling. Amen. Minds totally enlightened. The mind of Christ. Amen. It's coming, folks. Hello, it's here. Amen. That's our mind. Then our wills. I was total. I'd love. I want to get there. So there's no striving, no shakara with when God says, "This is it. This is it." Like Jesus said, "Not my will, but Thy will." We're going to get there, because without that, we cannot have this good success. You see that as we go on. Where we're going to totally submitted to the will of God. Not my will, Lord, but Thy will be done. Amen. And you make sure you keep, because it's a dynamic. Now, Lord Jesus had to pray that thing into manifestation. There was a time his will was not aligned with the will of God, but he prayed 3 solid hours of prayer travail with blood. The Bible says you have not striven with unto blood. Maybe one of us would do, some of us would do at this deal. Because it may come to that. Amen? It may come to that. Get ready. But don't be afraid. God is going to be there. Like God will send an angel to strengthen, so God will also send an angel to strengthen us in Jesus' name. But we must be prepared to go through that crucible. Pastor Jay was talking about gold and silver. Who wants to be silver? Man, you got to go around there. Please, oh. Anyway, that's by the way. Then that's on the side. Emotions. Totally controlled. Can you imagine? Your emotion is in total synchrony with God. Hey. So when you feel compassion the way God feels. You feel love the way God feels. You feel all these things. Your everything is subjected to God. Amen. And then, of course, your flesh is also purged. Now, while all this is going on, all this preparation, this is the word I bring now, God is not going to allow us to have a great amount of physical and material prosperity. Say amen, somebody. Ah, that amen was very weak. I understand, don't worry. But God is not, it's not going to, because why? It's going to be a distraction. You can't, in Yoruba land, you will not perform in Jesus' name. But you see, God wants your focus on single, thank you, your eyes to be single. So there's no shaking, nothing. You're just pursuing that prosperity of your soul straight ahead. And guess what? As you do that, God has already told you all the physical things will be added. What are we saying? Seek first the kingdom. And everything else is an addition. Hello, somebody. It's not the better way. And so you get both. But if you seek the one that is physical and material, you may lose, almost certainly, you may lose the prosperity because it will become a god. And it's happening all over the church. We can see it. Amen? And also we see Satan resisting the manifestation of this promised abundance because he wants to portray God as a liar. But he has failed in Jesus' name. Tell him he's failed. So our focus now, God's focus, is preparing our hearts and our bodies to carry and manifest the coming glory, the Spirit without measure in his church. Amen? Isaiah chapter 6, we've seen that. We won't go there. It says the forces of the Gentiles. Forces there is not armed forces. It's talking about the wealth. Ego in copious, tremendous amount. Amen? So they will bring thy sons and thy daughters from afar, and they bring their silver and gold with them, coming to you. Say one amen. Thank you, Lord. Everybody is trying to be holy. Okay, you don't want the forces of the Gentiles. It's your portion. That's what God is preparing you and I for. Amen? But even all this so far is not good success. Go back to Joshua 1:8. He says, and then when you have this product, you will now make your way prosperous and shall have good success. It is a measure of some success. But God has something far greater in mind, which the prosperity and all that cleansing of our mind, will, and emotions, the physical prosperity, the tremendous wealth that's about to come is for. It's a precursor, a prerequisite. Amen? And we look at that scripture. It says, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Remember I said earlier, good is a definitive word there. Now that word good implies something. There's a scripture in Matthew chapter 19, verse 17. This man, the young ruler, came up to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was trying to flatter Jesus. You know how we do sometimes. When you see, okay, you have the one. More blessing. Okay, more blessing. And say, good master. Jesus stopped him right there. Said, why are you calling me good? There's none good but God. So, when he says good success, he's talking about God kind of success. Amen. There are all kinds of success. But when you add good, you are automatically denoting the success that God counts as success. God's idea, God's definition of a success. A success that makes you like him. Amen. Amen. So then, what is good success? What is success in the eyes of God himself? I believe with all my heart. Because God has a purpose. I believe even with this glory that has come, even with this release that we have entered into by his grace, I believe that good or godly success is living long enough. The Bible says with long life, will he satisfy you and show you the fullness of his salvation. But that is not the end. That's a beginning of an end. And the end is that for each one of us to finish the work he has for you on the earth, to finish your course. Enjoy. That is good success. That is God's success. Everything, all the prosperity of mind, will, and emotions, all the prosperity, the massive, humongous, unprecedented wealth that God is about to rain upon his people, the Zion Church. Everything is a means to an end, not an end in itself. So you have to look, I'm getting ahead of myself. You have to look beyond the glory to see what it is God actually wants. To see what good success is. Apostle Paul. Now that's the guy that had good success. Give me 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's start from verse 6. Quickly. I want us to run through scriptures. Now there are not many people that can say this. Both present and past. But he said it. And it's written for us. Upon whom the ends of the earth has come. We ought to be able to say this with certainty. That's good success. It says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Next verse. I have fought a good fight. And the Lord stamped it and said, eternal scripture. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. These are eternal words. They resonate throughout the ages. God wrote it. And you know, Paul is a pattern disciple. So he's laying a pattern down for us to follow after. Amen? Next verse. Henceforth. See, he was speaking with absolute certainty. Certitude. He was not guessing. Henceforth, there is laid up for me. Come on, guys. You can say that about yourself, too. Henceforth, there is laid up for me. Where you got this, you know? Right. A crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, but not to me only. Which I'm not the only one, so he's expecting us to follow after. Hallelujah. But unto all them also that love his appearing. Now, you have to love his appearing, which means you are ready, you're clean, you're purified, you're purged. And then when the power downloads, you now fulfill your course and you check. Amen. Amen. People have done it and we will do it. Paul, he finished his course. Paul says, I magnify my office as an apostle of the Gentiles. Finished the course. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. In Philippians chapter 3, do we have time to go there? Let me try that. Philippians chapter 3. Give me verse, oh, help me, Lord. I want to show you how he prospered. Give me verse 4. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4. Oh, Jesus. Paul had physical, material success. 3:4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh. He's talking about prosperity, circumstantial here. If any other man thinks he has wealth more, that he has wealth, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Now begins to list all his achievements. Hallelujah. Circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, blessed stock of the tribe of Benjamin, the only and Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. But look what he says next. Concerning you, persecuting the church, touching righteousness, which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, I counted loss for Christ. That's a material prosperity giving way to the prosperity of the soul, the mind, the will, emotions, and the body to be like Christ. Next verse. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, things, and do count them but dung, so that I may win Christ. And there's more, but I mean, go on, read it. It is amplified. It's so good. And, but the essence is, Paul finished his course, and you will too, in Jesus' name. You too will get that divine good success. Like Joseph. Joseph is another one that finished his course. And Joseph finished his course earlier, spent about, 60 years or something in pleasure. Joseph finished his course. And the marvelous thing about Joseph that Pastor was sharing with us, is that Joseph didn't have the word. He did not have the written word. All he had was what his father told him. And he kept him in Egypt, bringing him to a place of good success to finish the course. What was his course? Psalm 105, verse 11. Quickly. Joseph finished his course. Now, this is all speaking concerning Joseph. The psalmist is talking concerning. He says, unto thee will I give a dynasty. This is what he said to Joseph's father, his father Abraham and Isaac. Next verse. And Jacob. Now, this is what happened. This is the time when Joseph got that dream. When there were but very few men in number, very few and strangers in it. It there being the land that he was supposed to go and possess. Amen? Now, jump to verse 17. Okay, they went from one nation to another. Now he set, now this is God. This is God setting Joseph up into that line for his purpose. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. He was sold for a servant. He was sold out of envy, but they didn't know they were doing the will of God. God is great. Amen. Now, give me verse 19. Where this is where his prosperity begins. Until the time that the word of the Lord came, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Your word will come one day in Jesus' name. That word that says, now, beloved, look up and receive all the land you can see around you. And apart from all that, I give you the spirit without measure. Go forth and preach my gospel to you. I've let the cat out of the bag. Anyway, no problem. They said the word of the Lord tried him and tested him. That's what he was doing when he was putting the word in his mouth. In his heart, and he was doing it. That word was testing him. If God drops a word in your heart, will you say you didn't hear it? Will you accept it as God put it there, and you will work it out as you can, as best as you can, given the Spirit? That's what was happening to Joseph. That's what God was doing to him in Potiphar's house all those years in prison. The word of the Lord was trying his heart. Would he or would he not obey? Next verse. Now, then the king sent and loosed him. Here comes prosperity. But notice, he had passed in the prison. He had passed the prosperity of his soul. The word had tested him and found him worthy. And then the king sent. Of course, it was Pharaoh, but who told Pharaoh to send? The king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. The Lord will break your shackles in Jesus' name. You will go free to serve the living God. Amen. Next verse. He made, now, this is it. He made him Lord over his house, ruler of all his substance. Everybody say prosperity. Abundant wealth. Now, let's go to good success. Verse 23. Israel, this was the end point. Israel, that means Israel, Jacob, and all the 75 people that came with him, also came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. Next verse. And he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than his enemies. That's what he was asked to do. That's why God sent him. Joseph had good success. Even made more spectacular because he didn't have the written word. Amen? All he had was the law of his conscience. Now, like Daniel. Again, we get Daniel. That's a Daniel purposely. This is another guy that was just exemplary. He didn't have the written word. All he had too was what they told him when he used to go to synagogue. So the word that he had in his heart, folks, put that word in your heart. If you put it in your heart, nobody can take it from you. No matter the situation, no matter the place where that word will keep speaking to you. Speaking to you. Bible says, wherewithal shall a man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto the word of God. He says, I have hidden thy word where? In my heart, that I may not sin against you. Daniel hid the word in his heart. So when he got to Babylon, the word arose on the inside and said, you will not defy yourself. And he refused to defy himself. Amen? And he was used with all the other Hebrews, the three Hebrews, there were four of them. What was his purpose? Shaka. Babylon was a place where God kept the creme de la creme of the Jewish people when he kicked them out of. God is wise. Jerusalem was sacked. But God made sure the creme de la creme of the children, those ones they were without blemish, who had favor, who could have the power, the presence to stand before kings, all those ones, God kept them in Babylon. And out of them, not many, only four. Can you imagine? All the ones that were, only four. But those four were sufficient with God. God will use a majority. Any day. What did they do? They changed kings. It was the prayers of Daniel, Meshach, Abednego. What's the other guy? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There was their prayers that God was using to control the kings of Babylon. And God was changing them, bringing a new king until one came that God was going to use. Cyrus, that he would use to send the Jews back to Israel to rebuild the temple. How do we know this? The Bible says Daniel understood by the books. At the time for Jeremiah's prophecy, causing the people to return to Israel had come. And he began to pray. That's why he was put there. I don't know if you're getting it. Purpose. So he prospered. And then God gave him an overview of human history. Wrote it down for us. Daniel is the only one in the Bible that there's nothing contrary, no mark against. That is a man greatly beloved of the Lord. He'll be a Daniel in the land in Jesus' name. And we see others, you know, fathers, even our recent fathers. I can't remember, I'm not sure if it was Gordon Lewis. I don't want to misquote, but Pastor was talking about one of the fathers who called his whole family and told them, I'm going home today. And they were looking at me, but you didn't see me there, dear. The guy knew what he was saying. He said, I finished my course, I finished the work, I'm going home. The guy sat in a rocking chair, rocked. Do you know who it was, Pastor David? Was it? EWK. Rocked. The guy checked. That's the way to go. Finish his work, purpose. Prospered, good success, nothing left for him to do, all checked. Ah, Father, I desire you. And of course, like the Lord Jesus Christ, finish his course. Give me John 17:4. John 17:4. Come on, guys. I have glorified thee. Tell anybody you will glorify God in the earth. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. We ought to be the same. That's good success. That is good success. Hello, somebody. Now, there are a few that didn't have good success. We just hit them running. David. Hello. David has the best heart. Had a heart of like God, but he didn't finish in good success. No, he had a measure of success. He had lots of prosperity. But David should not have died at 70. That was not the plan of God. Hello, somebody. He should have been there to shepherd his son. Do you know it was a direct result If you trace it back in the scripture, we don't have time because of time. But if you trace it back in scripture, you'll find out that it was the indiscretion with Bathsheba that eventually caused Solomon, who was put on the throne. He didn't have David around to share. He was too young on the throne. David should have lived to about 100, 150. He died at 70. 50, well, that's about 30, 50 years too early. He would have set Solomon straight from the beginning. Solomon would not have married all these daughters of the East country. They would not have turned his heart, and he would not have had God come to take the kingdom and divide it into two. So it feeds all the way back to David's transgression with Bathsheba. That was what weakened his body so that he could not live beyond 70. By the time he was dying, he had no heat. They had to go out and get a virgin to be giving him heat. Water bottle. Forgive me, Father. Human water bottle for heat. Of course, he had learned his lesson, but he didn't touch her. But it was too late. It was too late. All the rebellion could have been escaped. He missed it. Solomon, too, didn't have resources. He prospered materially, though. It's not material prosperity, folks. How does your soul prosper? And how much good success do you have? Solomon had, and God just flashed me. I said, many people in the church will settle for Solomon's success. I beg, all this prosperity, I didn't care. I know about you. I know, actually, you're cool. I heard a few hearts. So, then we will follow past Solomon's success. I beg, let me start there. God, just give me that one first. But we will not, because a greater than Solomon has come, crossing you the hope of glory. Hello, somebody. A greater than Solomon is on the earth. Why settle only for Solomon's wealth? The wealth that got him into deep trouble. The wisdom that did not profitably direct him. Mercy, Lord. So why all this now? Let's begin to round up. Help me, Lord. Well, first of all, we should know these things. But the Bible says we will not cease to mention them, even though we know them. And we are established in the present truth. We want to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. So, first of all, number one, the spirit of Babylon is still at work in the church. Of course, that's very true. And the majority are being deceived still. It's easier to go that wide way than to go this tight way. Narrow way. Straight, tight. You know, it's no maneuvering. Straight on. Your face is set like a flint. But you know, you can maneuver here, meander here, do meander, meander, meander. Eh? You know, you collect a lot of stuff on the way. On the weight. You miss out the weight for glory, though. Amen. How many remember Achan? When was the time of Achan's downfall? As they enter the promised land to possess it. That's why I said a warning. It will not happen to you in Jesus' name. The measure of good success is not worldly successful. No, sir. Gain is not godliness. Now, gain, godliness with contentment is gain. But gain is not godliness. If you read it, there's no time. On 1 Timothy chapter 6, where it says, if anybody does not adhere to the doctrine that is according to godliness, he is proud and he doesn't know anything. Let's look at it. First Timothy chapter 6. First Timothy chapter 6 thereabouts. If you can find it, I'll read it. Anyway. But the essence is godliness, and gain is not godliness. Amen. It says, yeah, okay. 6:5. No. This says, if any man teach others and consent, yeah, this is it. Consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. Next verse, he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereas come envy, strife, railings, evils, etc., etc. Hello, much of the church is exactly like this. Proud, knowing nothing. All they do is strive about words. I was talking about in the morning with Stephen. Amen. But godliness, the prosperity of soul, mind, will, emotions, and flesh with contentment is great gain. I like the ASV version. It says, and I wrote it down here when I looked, it says, godliness actually is a means of great gain when it is accompanied by contentment. Remember Pastor Ron, Pastor Kunle's message? Godliness with contentment. So in other words, contentment is necessary to attain unto the godliness that will eventually give you good success. Why? Because, you know, it's a meaning of great gain because it enables us to focus in contentment upon the total, not partial. Cleansing out of our mind, will, and emotions, remaining steadfast until we see that prosperity of soul and that prosperity of our bodies. Amen? So we're not looking to and fro. When is God going to do it? How is God going to do it? Face front. Amen. And then secondly, Satan's attacking your finances. He made God a liar. But God is not a liar. Everybody knows that scripture very well. Like we read it earlier on, you know, that God will fill the house with glory. The glory of the latter house shall be exceeding greater. And I will fill this house with gold and silver. We're all waiting for that. But it ain't happening yet. Satan is fighting. So he's trying to make, but God is not a liar. God is real and true. Let me ask you, how many of you are hungry? How many go to bed without food? Nobody. Some children put their hand up, you know. I'm not that kind of hungry. I mean, you're hungry because you haven't had your lunch. No, your lunch is on the way. And you guys are hungry. I love children. They're truthful. You say, man's hungry. Your man's belly is rumbling. And he's in church. Amen. But having food and raiment, let us there with thee. So we are content in Jesus' name. God is faithful, Lord. He will perform his word, but you got to be content until he does. Amen. I wrote here, let us be satisfied with the overcomers' reward of the white stone and a new name. The name that nobody knows except you. When you see all those changes going inside, you know you're getting close to good success. Amen. Amen. So, godly good success is living long enough to finish the work God has for you and I on the earth and finish your course. And this work differs from generation to generation. We give the example of Joseph. We give the example of Paul. Amen. In our generation, all the prosperity of circumstances and wealth, the prosperity of mind, will, and emotions and physical body, everything is to achieve the good success revealed to us in Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19. This is good success. Go ye therefore. Give it an amplified. Amplified. Thank you. Go then. Hello? Folks, this is your good success. This is my good success. Go then and make disciples, not converts. Big difference. Big difference. Disciples means you are going to stay there. You're going to make them disciples, make them, teach them, pray for them, grow them up, travail unto Christ, be formed in them, because before you can begin to think of leaving them. Only one yes, sir. That's what we're all going to do. Whether you say yes, sir, or no, sir, that is what God wants us to do. Go then and make disciples of some. Of all nations, all ethnos. Now, the end time church can do this because number one, until of recent, we don't even know all ethnos. It couldn't have been said to the church of that time because they didn't know all ethnos. And even if they did, they had no power to get there. But now we've got internet, we've got Facebook, we've got all this stuff, we've got technology, we can travel farther and further and faster. The planes are getting larger, bigger, faster, higher. Hello, somebody. You don't even have to go. You just put yourself on the internet. You can reach 1 million+ people. Billions. Disciple them from where you are. But some foot soldiers have got to go. There must be boots on ground. You can't do without boots on ground. So we're going to go. So we're going to teach the gospel. And then Matthew 24:14 is very familiar to us. This gospel of the kingdom. Not the gospel of prosperity. Not the gospel of get born again and go to heaven. The gospel of the dominion of the character of the King in your life manifested in glory. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in one or two places. Say, what, Iberia? That's good success. That's where it is going on. So, only the end time church can do this because only now the technology is available and the means are available. Amen? So, everything God prospers us with, the prosperity of riches. And Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 18 says he gives us power to get wealth. But there's a purpose to establish his covenant upon the earth. That's what the wealth is for. the tremendous prosperity by the mind of Christ that will come to the church. That's what he's going to achieve. Amen. To establish his covenant of the kingdom on the earth. Amen. Prosperity of soul and body to partake of the glory. Now I said again, the glory is not an end. Zechariah 2 verse 8 says, after the glory he will send me. If you look at verse 11, he says, in that day many nations shall be joined unto the Lord. After the Lord has sent the nations with spoil. Verse 11 says, many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. Which means that the going forth after the glory is to join nations unto God. That's the purpose. That is the good success. Hello. You will have good success in Jesus' name. We're closing. Amen. So, all these things, everything God processes us with, materially, financially, spirit, without measure, glory, everything, is a means to the end of fulfilling the good success and finishing in that good success, making disciples of all ethnos, preaching and demonstrating the gospel of the kingdom. Amen. How do we do this as we close? Have good success and finish our course. How do we do this? Well, the scripture also gives us a key, and it's very, very important to remember again that it's the word that is the source of everything. So as you put the word in your mouth, in your heart, don't allow it to depart day or night. The Bible says, my eyes prevented the night watches. Amen. Pastor's story. We fall the night, we pray. You know, God is having mercy on this household. You know, you can pray for the 6 hours before you get there. So, for example, this is what time is, about 1 o'clock now. You can start praying for the hours from between 12 noon and 6 p.m. now. Boost yourself. Before it's 6 p.m., you pray for another, for 6 p.m. to 12 midnight. And you pray before midnight, you pray from 12 midnight to 6 a.m. So you're always ahead. So all that time you're sleeping, the word is still working for you. Hello, somebody. What a great system. It's a round-the-clock system, day and night. God has given us the secret. Then, of course, to use the word, maybe by the blood, the word and the spirit, all that we've been taught. So you just, you know, key into that. And the power of the spirit will perfect this character of love of God in our lives. And then, by the release of the spirit without measure, amen, the tremendous wealth, the financial and material wealth that comes with the ability of the mind of Christ, the ability of God, will prosper us tremendously. And all that finances is to use to disciple the nations. And this is the good success. So, what are we saying? We close. Let's not shortchange ourselves. Amen. Let's look beyond. Thank God for the glory. I'm excited though. I'm waiting, like, you know, the poet says, with bated breath. Let's see what God is going to do. I want to see what's going to happen. But as I do that, as we do that, we're not going to sit back and relax. Hello, somebody. The glory is a tremendous responsibility. Because what it does, it gives you the ability under God to now fulfill the plan and the purpose of God to subdue the nations. Bring in the harvest of nations so God can come in and end this whole shebang so we can all go to heaven, come back later and set up the eternal kingdom upon the earth. That's good success. That's what the glory is for. That's why this book of the law will not depart from your mouth, from your heart, day and night. You keep it there and you observe to do, then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Don't shortchange yourself, folks. Good success is purpose and destiny. So let's press on and finish the race in fullness of God's godly success. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Very simple message today. I trust we'll be able to speak to all of us. Hello, somebody. Your success is still ahead. Don't shortchange yourself. All that's happened so far is good. It's good. It's prospering. Thank you. Thank God for the prosperity. But the good success, the godly success, is finishing your course with joy, knowing that there's a crown laid up for you, knowing that you have finished the work that God gave you on the face of the earth. Nothing beats that. Nothing. Let's ask the Lord to help us, grant us mercy, so we finish our course in good, godly success. We won't stop only at prosperity. And the good godly success that he's shown us already includes all that wealth, all that prosperity of mind, and so everything is inclusive. Seek first the kingdom, first the dominion, first in yourself, And that in the earth and the nations in Ethnos and every other success, every other good thing, every other prosperous thing will be added. Finish now thy new creation, pure and spotless. Let us be pure. Thy great salvation perfectly restored in me. Till in purpose we take our, till we cast our crowns before thee, lost in wonder and finish now thy new creation. Finish now. Respond to the word that has come this afternoon. Lift the hand to the Lord, one hand, the other hand upon our hearts in submission. Say after me, say, Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word today that has come to remind me that the end of our salvation is the salvation of our souls, but that the end of your purpose is the good success of finishing my course with joy. And like Paul, knowing that I have finished my course on the earth and that there's a crown of righteousness laid up for me in heaven. I understand this now. And so, Heavenly Father, I come to ask for mercy. You will help me to use the blood, the word, and the power of the Spirit to cause my soul to prosper, to apprehend the end of my faith, which is the salvation of my soul, causing my mind to be enlightened totally by the light of revelation knowledge, causing my will to be totally humbled and submitted to your will in every instance, and causing my emotions to be tempered by the fruit, the power of the fruit of the Spirit, especially your love. And also that my body will be purified, cleansed and purified, meet for your use in this day. I understand that this is the prosperity that I should seek after. And so I ask for mercy to be faithful. And as I seek this prosperity, seeking first your kingdom daily by putting your word in my mouth, in my heart, and doing it, I will also fulfill good success. The preaching of the gospel of the kingdom and making disciples of all nations, which is a good success for our generation. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving me this understanding. I purpose that I will not be satisfied with anything but your likeness when I awake. I purpose that I will not rest and I will not look back until I fulfill my success as a person who evangelizes and disciples the nations of the earth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping to finish in good success. In Jesus' name. Let's pray in tongues. Zembri brokoraka, rimbira mala kuzakala, rimbira brama bakasaya, rambari breno shakalo, rimbedara mokase kanzare, rimbira mala baramezere, rimbira mala sakuro, rimbira mala sakuro miapalo, rimbedara zerele, rimbira moso sotoma, rambido serendi, rimbira isakuro mega, mare bombe sempre brama che biavano, mamere mere, rimbira mala serema pakoro miapalo ma. Pale my cari, rembe saran, pare no se, rembe la saranto casa, rembi do, serente, che somebody be, father be nominated to say, rembe le besata, rubricaba, rese per cabaca, rese per cabacata, rese per cabacasa. In Jesus' name, amen. Please, you may be seated.